live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 258. I'm Brandon Reif, your host. My co-host, Jonathan Birdsong, will be joining me momentarily. We've got a great show tonight. My goodness, we've got the NBA Finals, Game 3 tonight down in Miami. Myself and Jonathan will cover that, kind of where we're at with the Heat and the Nuggets, all tied up at 1-1 right now. We'll cover that as they go into a pivotal Game 3 tonight. We'll talk that. We've got some news and notes from around the NBA as well. As we go into this offseason, we'll hit that up. We've got NFL news is big. We've got a little college basketball, some college football talk as well. And then we also have the big stuff from yesterday, the LIV and PGA Tour. We have got that talk, the merger with that. We'll go into that a little in depth. And then as well tonight, we have a huge interview tonight with we've got a friend of the program, Ball State golf coach we've had on several times, Mike Fleck. One of his golfers, the National Invitational Champion, Cash Ballar, will be joining us tonight at 7:30, so we'll have him joining us. We're going to talk golf with him. We're going to talk Ball State with him, so excited to have him on tonight. And, of course, my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you? Man, what a week in sports news.
We hit a roller coaster of sports news, man. It's not even really centered around any like big sporting events, is it, man? Like, you know, I know everybody was kind of chomping at the bit and about, you know, something about the merger, but man, the John Morant stuff is still kind of floating around there. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, man, there's still a lot. You know, there's a lot kind of things kind of going on. And man, it's great to be back, you know, chopping it up with you, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? I know everybody knows me and you kind of the dartboard stuff back and forth all week. And you know what I'm saying? I think this LIV PGA merger has kind of just, you know what I'm saying, just leapfrogged everything that we kind of dartboard up front. So, just jump right into it. Or we can jump into the Heat since I know the game is a little late at night. So whichever one you want to jump into first.
Yeah, let's I guess let's do. I don't care. We can go NBA or LIV. I'm thinking LIV first just because it's kind of taking the main headlines.
That's cool.
We'll do that before we have Cash on later on. Kind of staying with the golf theme itself. Was it Monday? Was it Monday or Tuesday? I can't think of which day it was now. But I get the breaking news at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m., 10 a.m. It was, I guess it was yesterday, 10 a.m. Yep. The PGA and LIV have agreed to a merger. And I had to look at it three times. And I said, what?
Bro, you didn't think it was real. I didn't think it was real.
It was one of those, it was like one of those Kobe Bryant death things, like, no, that can't be. And then I turn on there's nothing on Twitter, nothing on ESPN, nothing on PGA, nothing on no laying up, you know, none of the golf feeds. So I turn into CNBC, and I see the guy, besides Greg Norman, the guy that's in charge of LIV and the PIF, sitting next to Jay Monahan. And I am like, what the hell is going on here? John, they have reached a merger. And they are going to be working together. I've got the quote from the PGA. I'll put it on for our YouTube viewers. The PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the Public Investment Fund, the PIF, today announced a landmark agreement to unify the game of golf on a global basis. The parties have signed into agreement the combined PIF's golf-related commercial business and rights, including LIV Golf, with the commercial business and rights of the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, a new collective owned for-profit entity will take all stakeholders to benefit from a model, the excitement and competitive amongst the game's best players. John, Jay, I think the word that I got out of it is hypocrisy. That's the key word, hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
Jay Monahan. John, I got some audio I want to play.
Uh-oh.
Jay Monahan said this last year, pretty much damn near at the same time, the Canadian Open, when LIV was kind of do their own thing. And Jay went out of his way to talk about, and everybody's seen it, the 9/11 families and the Saudi money and the blood money, whatnot. And this was kind of his quote.
Well, I talked to players. I've talked at a player meeting, and I've talked to a number of players individually for a long period of time. And I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that there are significant implications. And as it relates to the families of 9/11, I have two families that are close to me that lost loved ones. And so my heart goes out to them. And I would ask, you know, any player that has left or any player that would ever consider leaving, have you ever had to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour?
Well, we can say that's changed now. Eating your own words, John. Basically, and here's my rant, John. The Saudis own golf, okay? The Saudis officially own golf. It's totally changed. In the lawsuit, the counter lawsuit, I read through it today again, from the PGA that put on LIV Golf, Jay Monahan was quoted, John, saying that the LIV is using players and, quote, the game of golf to sports wash the recent history of the atrocities and today. Well, and today we're like, okay, well, what Saudi atrocities? We don't know that. You tell me about the atrocities, John. Poof, gone. Blood money. That's what it is, John. It's a new brand, the PGA Tour. But we're still the PGA Tour, the non-for-profit, yada, yada. Jay Monahan just sold out the entire PGA without talking to TV sponsors, without talking to the players who he alienated, John. The LIV players who've taken that money now they now have padded a fat padded wallet in their back pocket now, can come back to the PGA Tour with no issues. And Rory goes out and says, we can't just welcome them back. That's not going to happen. But, John, even further for me, let's take Hideki Matsuyama. Matsuyama turned down a $300 million deal to join LIV Golf. One year later now, DJ, Brooks, Phil, all going to be playing the same tournament as him, and his pockets are empty compared to what they have. And you're going to tell me that – we're going to sit here and just say it's basically Jay Monahan has sold out. He's alienated him. People were calling for in the players only meeting yesterday with him for his resignation. And I put it out there. His resignation needs to happen. It's embarrassing to the PGA. The families of the 9/11 put out a statement. And, you know, and here I got a quick 2-minute quote from some of Rory's comments today. At the Canadian Open. So here's a little bit of Rory.
What do you say to fans who are disappointed in this deal?
But it's not LIV. I think that's the thing. I still hate LIV. Like, I hate LIV. Like, I hope it goes away, and I would fully expect that it does. And I think that's where the distinction here is. This is the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the PIF. Very different from LIV. All I've tried to do is protect what the PGA Tour is and what the PGA Tour stands for, and I think it will continue to do that. So, look, going forward, I hope that there may be a team element, and you're going to see maybe me, maybe whoever else play in some sort of team golf, but I don't think it'll look anything like LIV has looked, and I think that's a good thing.
Just as a follow-up, I mean, you do see why fans are upset, though. I see what you're saying, that it's not LIV, it's the PIF. But nonetheless, you know, during this back and forth over the past year, at one point, Jay Monahan said a deal like this would never happen out of respect for the victims of 9/11. Obviously, you're not responsible for what Mr. Monahan says, but you can see why this has stirred up a lot of emotions in fans, right?
Of course. You know, I said it to Jay yesterday, you've galvanized everyone against something, and that thing that you galvanized everyone against, you've now partnered with. So, of course, I understand it. It is hypocritical. It sounds hypocritical. The one thing I would say is, again, whether you like it or not, the PIF and the Saudis want to spend money in the game of golf. It is they want to do this, and they weren't going to stop. So, how can we, you know, the thing for me, and this is the one thing that I've always thought about, how can we get that money into the game but use it the right way? And I think that's what this ultimately will do, hopefully. I mean, that's my hope.
So, John, from what Jay Monahan said to what it is now, that Jay just took the money. He took the money, and he looked like a complete idiot now. Where, like Rory said, you galvanized everybody on this mission. You make people like Rory look like an idiot, like Tiger Woods look like an idiot, a lot of these guys. And now we're doing this. What's your thoughts on all this, John?
Brandon, you say how much is too much? How much is enough, man? So, like, the numbers that were thrown out, man. So we know Dustin Johnson and a couple of other golfers went over to live, and they got big paydays to play. It was competitive golf, but it wasn't the same kind of courses. We all know this. Well, you know it now. So golf technically gets the stars back in this merger, but Brandon, like, man, I just tell you how much it was too much, man. I mean, it wasn't like the PGA golfers is on the poorhouse at all. You know what I mean? The payout, I get the payout's like, oh, man, boo-hoo, $5 million payout on the PGA Championship, boo-hoo. If you wanted to go play for Liv, go play for Liv. There's obviously a division. But, Brandon, I say beware. I kind of said beware on a couple shows ago when Mahomie came over and he won the major. Brooks. Yeah. I said, be careful. Be careful, man, because that was kind of like a feel-good. Dude, that was, I mean, 2 weeks ago. Now we went feel good to like, oh, damn, we just gonna buy it. I don't understand. So like everybody knows, if you track things like streaming and you track like ratings and whatnot, like they were kind of tanking.
They were
tanking, but they were. I mean, they still had representation.
No, John, they were trash. The CW, okay. They were on the CW streaming.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what
with no
dude,
ratings.
I mean, I get that, but you still had a TV show, right? But the thing is, they're on their last leg, man. So compared to like being on CBS or at NBC, you know, and the big networks where golf is kind of displayed, man. So this was like last ditch effort, man. And like, yeah, he took the money, man. But like you told everybody else, hey, man, we're good over here because we got everybody else. We got the corporate endorsements, you know what I'm saying, from Crest to Kellogg's. Like it's all good. And then you telling me, Brandon, he didn't even talk to Kellogg's. He didn't talk to Procter & Gamble. He didn't talk to Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. He didn't talk to, you know what I'm saying? He didn't talk to the sponsors. That's a big no-no, man. So that's where, and I get it, he's in power. Right? But, like, that doesn't really.
How much did he get paid for it, I wonder? How much is his cut? Because you know he got a significant cut.
Brandon, but he talked like golf was losing money. You wasn't losing viewers. You just didn't have your quote-unquote superstar. You still
no.
had your corporate sponsors.
I think he's scared the fact that those lawsuits are not going to go away, that the Saudis are going to spend as much money as it takes. And I think he, quote-unquote, he says, we have to move forward. Okay, I think it's just the fact that you realize that you made a mistake with a lot of comments you said. And he goes, well, I didn't – what was it he said? He goes, well, I guess I didn't go back and review everything as I should have and listen to the right – well, who are you listening to back then, you know? And I thought it was funny that Greg Norman was nowhere in the picture yesterday. So is he on the outs? I mean, he found out just like the way we did. We should not – John, the PGA golfers, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas – Tiger Woods, these guys should not be finding out this information the same way we do through Twitter.
Right.
Colin Morikawa, they shouldn't be finding it out the same way we do. Having a meeting afterwards, it's like instead of asking for permission, it's easier just to ask for forgiveness. But I think, and I will stand by the fact, I think Jay Monahan needs to resign. And I think they need to find somebody else. But he's not going to, especially not now. He's deep into it. But it's a bad look I don't know what the hell they're going to call the new entity. Rory seems to think that they're going to still keep a lot of PGA Tour rules and stuff like that, and it's not going to be anything you see on LIV. I have a hard time believing that as well. They got a lot to work out. Here's the thing. It's so ass backwards, John. You announce it, but there's nothing – there's no details, and there's no pen to paper. There's still no pen to paper. It's a handshake deal as of right now.
It's damn near like Vince McMahon when they bought the WWE, huh?
Dude, Jay Monahan had a Vince McMahon heel turn when he took the robe off and said, "It's me, Austin, it's me," or the NWO thing. This is that type of heel turn. I've never been wowed and shocked ever by a sports story in the morning like the Kobe Bryant one and then this one. The only two I can think of. And I sent you the text. I go, PGA and LIV merger. What'd you think when I sent you that?
I just didn't because I had got a notification, quite honestly, at the same time, but I just didn't understand, like, merger. I mean, maybe y'all play, like, you keep your show separate, like WWE, you know what I'm saying, is over here, NXT's over here, and then y'all play around versus one another, something like that, man. But, like, nah, it's together now. Everything's back together, like, whether you like it or not. This is what golf is right now. Professionally.
So interesting for that. We'll see what happens. The Canadian opens this weekend. The U.S. opens next weekend. That's going to be interesting. The U.S. opened out there in Los Angeles, so we'll have prime time.
What the corporate partners are going to say about
it. American Express, even the TV sponsors, NBC, you know, all them. I think the old boy was just trying to look to line his pockets and how can I easily get out of this? Well, let's do this. Let me line my pockets and I'll take some heat because you know what? In the end, I've got money.
Man.
In the end, John, money rules all, right? Money is cash. Money is king.
No, man, you got to have – there used to be some things about integrity, man. And
there is none in the PGA Tour now.
You don't
the tour itself.
Man.
I'm not talking about the golfers. I'm talking about the tour.
I got you. Okay.
Sad day. I thought they caved way too quick. Jesus, it's only been a year. Like,
why?
Not even a year, right?
But again, as I said, the PGA wasn't having problems. You know what I'm saying? Getting people to come to the daggone tournaments either. They just didn't have the stars, man. I get it, but
yeah,
new days on it. Yep.
Absolutely. So.
Got
some breaking news.
Look out.
Breaking news.
All right, no, this
one is. Do you? You may. If you're like me. We've got breaking news from the world of professional basketball, John. Per Adrian Wojnarowski, the Suns are exploring trade options for both Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton, which we kind of talked about that. But they're looking to unload Chris Paul, John. They are willing as well to waive him. Possible trade or waive and re-sign him to a lesser contract or just kind of stretch out the contract. Frank Vogel needs to try to open up a little bit of those that need to get some more players in there, it sounds like.
Yeah, they know they need some depth because when they made that trade for Kevin Durant, they traded away all their depth. Matt Ashiba, that's the new ownership's name, he's coming there with a sledgehammer. That's bigger than Britney Spears. Who's had the song called Sledgehammer? We'll look it up anyway. We can't sing it anyway. We'll get fine. But you know what? You get the visual. Anyway, he's coming in with a sledgehammer. He fired the coach. I mean, Chris Paul to ask me to come in to take a pay cut. That's embarrassing. That's not gonna happen. So I think Chris Paul ends up really, you know, on the streets for a little bit, and he'll get picked back up.
Lakers.
But you said it. I didn't. But the Suns better be careful, man, about
– You know what else I said? I said Frank Vogel would be – and you kind of called me crazy with Frank going to Phoenix, and that's what happened.
Yeah, you said it. Yeah, but be careful with that, like how you just going into locker rooms and blowing up teams like that. That's not the way to a championship.
But I don't think it was him wanting to do that. I think that's –
No, it'll cement your standings. Like, Chris Paul's still a good player, so if he's leaving – and the Suns haven't put themselves in a position to gain any type of draft picks, lottery picks, or anything else. Like, what are you bringing in? Are you going to spend the money to get any of the free agents? Who's the class? Who's the class of this free agency? Point guard? No, nobody. No, not like generationally.
Right.
I'm not saying, yeah, like Chris Paul. But be careful. You know what I'm saying, Matt Ashiba. So, you know what I'm saying, that remains to be seen with that hot mess is out there with the Suns. I like Frank Vogel. I'm cheering for him. Everybody knows him. But he's got to talk. He's got two good pieces, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. They'll probably flip DeAndre Ayton. We forget about that. But Chris Paul Day is obviously numbered, and he's probably going to get waived.
Makes me feel a little better about my Kevin Durant no NBA title. So. How about your boy Kyrie coming out and said, "Hey, Bron, come over here and play with me and Luka. Let's win a title."
Dude,
team
all right, man. He got that hydro weed that ain't nobody else got except for Dr. Dre and maybe Redman, because they have what, pick 10? I feasibly try to think about it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the Lakers would ask for like everything, including Mark Cuban's, you know, saying piggy bank to trade LeBron James, and the pick 10 just ain't gonna get it. So I thought it was funny. Kyrie wants to get paid. The Dallas Mavericks want to pay Kyrie. I don't think anybody else wants to pay Kyrie. So he's kind of like, you showing your cards, bud. Be careful. That's what I'll say about that.
Yeah, just look at that, and I go, I don't know. Kyrie, I mean, does Dallas really want him?
Yeah, you know that he's not coming to Dallas to play with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. No, it would never happen.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like I said, Crossroads Sports Radio, episode 258. We're going to have Cash Beller joining us here momentarily, Ball State golfer, national golf invitational champion recently. Plays golf for Ball State. Chirp, chirp, Muncie. Friend of the program, Coach Mike Flett's going to have him join us here momentarily next 10 minutes,
hey man,
or so.
Our homie's coming on tonight, man. I got a lot of questions for him. I know you do as well. But he not only was, like you said, he won the invitations, also, man, he's a pretty good golfer pretty much all this year. So we're going to dive into that, man. Like Mac, he got some Mac honors. That's what I'm trying to say. He got some Mac honors, you know what I'm saying? And like they just don't give you those awards for nothing, man. So we're going to deep dive in him a little bit. Do you want to take a break or do you want to We got some time.
So I am going to ask him how he got those flowing locks, that lock of hair. Those flowing locks out there. That's a little aerodynamic.
That's true. I know. Well, here's the thing, though, Brent. I know we usually do our RIP segment at the middle, at the end. But I know we missed last a couple of weeks ago, man, superstar Billy Graham. I know some avid wrestling fans kind of watched the show, man. I didn't want to, like, you know what I'm saying, not acknowledge it. And then, like, early today, you know what I'm saying, the Iron Sheik, another, you know what I'm saying, another classic, you know what I'm saying,
crazy.
From back in the day, back in the day, man, way over. And actually, the Iron Sheik was actually an Olympic wrestler for his country.
Wow.
I do actually believe he medaled as well.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? But put a whole lot of guys over, from Hulk Hogan to, you know, who else he put? I mean, superstar Billy Graham. You know, he put a lot of guys over.
Bob Backlund took the title from Backlund.
Yeah, took the title from Backlund. Had a great program back in the mid-90s with Sting to help him get over. Man, great, great talent. I encourage everybody.
He hated Hulk Hogan towards the end of his career, following his Twitter account.
Well, I think that was a bit of a word. I think that's still part of the
show.
Think
it was a bit?
Yeah, I think it's probably been I think they really – Hulk Hogan, man, knows that's how he got over. You know what I mean?
Right.
I love the Iron Sheik. I like, you know what I'm saying, it was believable back in the day. You know what he was saying? Iran is number one, USA. But he got over, man. He was, you know, one of Vince's, you know what I'm saying, brightest stars, man. He's gone, man. But he's not necessarily deeply sad, man. He lived to an old age, man. And a lot of times, you know, we can't say that about the professional wrestlers, man. But, like, he will be missed. Thankful. Brandon, we got plenty of YouTube. And plenty of, like, I tell everybody, go to his Twitter handle. Man, you'll be like, oh, my God, this dude's crazy. But he is very interesting. The Iron Sheik.
R.I.P. Iron Sheik, R.I.P. superstar Billy Graham. John, we got a few minutes. I will ask you this. Tyrese Halliburton is joining Team USA roster for the FIBA World Cup this summer. any reservations against that at all? You know, we saw what happened to Paul George with the freak injury when he was doing it. It derailed the Pacers' run. And, you know, he never, I'll say in a Pacer uniform, he never kind of got to where we wanted him to be. I mean, he obviously got there with Oklahoma a little bit and the Clippers. But any little reservations with Tyrese going and playing on this roster?
Nah, man, I never look at it like that, man. Basketball players have to maximize their time and being a basketball player, man. American basketball culture has saying, at least with me, man, and with you, man, because I don't know if you were joking about it or not. Remember, you said Carmelo Anthony is the greatest Olympic basketball player. He's one of them. He's one of them. I'll say that, man. But, like, that's an important part of your resume. And I would say anybody who joins up with that, you better take it seriously. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, we don't expect no L's there. So I really don't have no reservations about it. Now, how hard you have to play to get to where you want to, where the team needs to go, I expect nothing but the best. You're playing for your country, man. I'm being honest, man. But that's why I would say take if you're going over there to join, if you join Team USA, take it very seriously and understand that, you know what I'm saying, you are playing for your country. You're playing for an Olympic gold medal. And hopefully, like I said, I said a gold medal.
Well, this is just the FIBA World Cup. It's not the – it's next year will be the Olympics. But
Brandon.
Have you seen this roster? Have you seen this roster?
Don't nobody want to lose.
It ain't the greatest.
Remember when Manu Ginobili came and wrecked the building, like shook everybody up from Argentina?
In 2004, yeah.
Yeah, man, no, we can't have that ever again. Ever again, man, ever. So, like, no, man, they gotta have the best out there. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's something. I looked at that roster, and I'm like, I'm seeing flashbacks to the 04 before we had to have the redeem team out there with everybody. But, yeah, man, scary stuff, but hopefully he'll be fine. I think it'll be good for him to play. Problem is, the only thing I hate, and we'll finish on this, we'll bring on Cash. The thing I hate about this is also it lets him spend a lot of time with these other top stars, and it gives them the opportunity to try to maybe sway him away from Indiana when a certain contract's up, or say, hey, man, act like you're disgruntled a little bit.
I got you.
Right?
Right.
That's my only concern. I think that's what happened with Paul. They start getting in his ear.
Brandon, the city has embraced Halliburton, man.
They did it for Paul, too. And Vic.
Was Vic at the 500? Was Vic at the fairgrounds?
Yes. Vic actually drove the pace car.
He did.
So did Halliburton. I'm sorry, he did. I punched a hole in your theory there. Yeah, it just scares me. It scares me that they might get in his head, hey, man, act like you're disgruntled or into your contract, man. Come hoop with me and such and such over here. You know, let's go win a title. That's what you need. You ain't going
to
win
it. They got to get Halliburton to ring that bell for the Colts then. That's what they need. He got to do that now.
Ring that bell.
Or maybe he got to light the Christmas tree downtown, the world's largest Christmas. He got to light that.
Kids do that, man. Yeah, whoever wins that coloring contest. So, all right, John, you want to introduce our guest?
I thought, hey, man, hey, welcome to the show, Cash Beller, man, Ball State University, man. It's a pleasure to have you on, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me come on.
Absolutely, dude, Cash. You had a great, great season from what we saw. You know, we've had your coach, Coach Mike Fleck, on. He's a friend of the program. We've had him on several times. And, yeah, man, he's had nothing but great things to say about you guys, your whole team this year. And kind of how you guys would have performed.
Yeah, I mean, individually, I had a good year as a team. In the fall, we obviously didn't do what we wanted to do, but we came out and had a good finish. We had a good spring, and we're able to get into a postseason, which was the goal.
Okay. John?
Cash. Brandon, I don't know if Coach Fleck told you, but Brandon Reef and myself are both Ball State alumni, man, from different eras than you are in right now, man. So how did fate and your talent come together for you at Ball State University?
I started my recruiting process pretty young. I started reaching out to coaches my freshman year in high school. And Fleck was one of the first. And then kind of came through the process. My game wasn't good, but Fleck was always talking to me, always reaching out. And I just kind of got to the end of the day. I'm like, well, if all these, I mean, nothing against these other coaches, but like, I just thought with Fleck being there at my lowest, I was like, I think I want to play for him. And that's, and that's how I just kind of decided to come here to Ball State.
Okay. Okay. Outside the golf course, what was your first impression of campus life at Ball State?
For over 20,000 students, it feels small, which I kind of like. I went to Peru High School, which I only had like 140 kids in my class. So I kind of like that small aspect. Like, I see the same people every day. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people on campus, but being a student athlete, you're kind of in your own little world, if you will. Like, you see the same people at workouts, you see the same people at the dining hall, you see the same people in classes. Like, it's just kind of like a small community, if you will.
Okay, that's how it was when I was there in 1992.
You said that kind of quietly there. It wasn't as long for me, 2008. So,
yeah, I'm glad things remain consistent, man. Brandon.
Yeah. So Cash, what was it like? You know, we're gonna go see Coach Fleck here soon ourselves. But what's it like? You talked about the recruiting process. You know, going in there. What's it like actually playing for him? Is he all like? And like before, is he like get you amped up and everything, or is he kind of calm, cool, collected? Like, how is it playing for him, and like how's a weekend tournament work with the coach? I know they typically follow through with some of the groups of players. So how is that playing for him?
I mean, practice wise and playing wise different, because like obviously you can see him in practice all day long, and then when it's a tournament, like I'll hardly ever see him because it's just him. Because
right.
we don't have an assistant coach, and there's five of us, so he can't be with five of us all the time. And I'm kind of one of those guys, like, I'm good on my own. Like, he doesn't have to worry about me, in a sense. Like, if I have a bad hole, he knows I'm going to get it back. But, I like Coach. I mean, just like any great relationship, you're going to have your ups and downs, and we sure have. But the good thing is me and him are both working for the same goal, and that's to win.
Okay, perfect.
Go ahead,
John.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to ask. I'll ask you real quick, John. So academics. So obviously, you know, Ball State Golf, you guys, the team, you guys are high up there in academic, a lot of academic honors. I know Jonathan's going to talk a little about those. How do you, as a top athlete, you know, playing collegiate golf, and how do you balance academic success and athletics in this day of age? Because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not distractions. I'll put that out there.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, there's no sugarcoating that. But, I mean, the big thing, I think, for the team is discipline. It also helps we have some smart cookies on the team, like some guys that are having some 4.0s and some really difficult majors. I'm not one of those guys. I'm one of those guys that's just going to grind it out and try to get that A-.
But I hear you.
I think a big thing is just discipline. Like, waiting until the last minute sucks. We've all been there, and where it's like, oh, shoot, it's 10 o'clock and I have an assignment due at midnight. Like, oops. Like, the big thing is just getting ahead of it, because this spring we had 4 weekends in a row where we were at tournament, and so we'll leave like 2 to 3 days earlier just because of travel. And there's, in that 4 week stretch, I was in class for maybe 1 or 2 days during the week.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, great.
And that's hard when you're away, having to try to keep up with assignments, you know?
Yeah. I mean, with today's modern age, I think technology helps out a lot. Like, a lot of professors post lectures online, so you can get away with that. But say you're in an accounting class and the professor does all her lectures in person and doesn't post them on Canvas, well, you got to rely on a buddy.
Right. Yeah, that was me back in the day. I ran cross country and track down at USI before I transferred to Ball State. And when we left for meets and stuff, I had to rely like on a class light. Like, hey man, take some notes for me, because we didn't have the technology, wasn't what it is today. So I got to feel that's a little bit better now that you have those resources available.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to write a paper.
A lot of hand cramps, man. A lot of hand cramps. Absolutely. Yeah. So recently, I guess the last tournament you guys had, the National Invitational tournament. I make sure I say that right. National Golf Invitational. We got the champ with us, John Cash. You won that tournament. Had a great round, great four rounds there. Kind of talk a little bit about that tournament itself. I guess it's the inaugural tournament that they've had for this. Did you have an idea going into it, like looking at the course, being like, I mean, I can play this course well, like it fits my skill set well, and went out there and did it? Or kind of what was your thought process kind of going into that tournament? What were your expectations? And then kind of as the tournament progressed?
I mean, Tiger said it best. If you're not going there to win, then why go? I mean, I think that's everyone's mentality. Like, that's just not me. So, I mean, going into it, I was just wanting to finish well and play well for the team and also play well for myself. Like, I think that's a big thing that I learned this year is playing well for your team and doing all that's great, but play well for yourself as well, because this is an individual sport. But with us, it's a little different with the team aspect. But doing well for yourself will also do well for the team. That's what I think we've kind of realized, is like playing for yourself will help the team out in the long run.
Okay.
No,
go ahead.
Going into it, I mean, we're in Arizona. It's desert golf, and the course was firm and fast, hard, and I like hard golf courses, because that means the winner's not like, you don't have to go out there and try to make 20 birdies and try to shoot like 15 under par. Like, granted, 7 under par is still low, but it's not 15 and 7 is a big difference.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, my big thing going into the week was trying to eliminate like the big numbers and the doubles, and I accomplished that goal this week. And I told Flex this, like, after Mac and after Puerto Rico, if I would make so many bogeys and doubles, I'd win one of these sons of guns. And I ended up proving myself right.
Very nice. Yeah, that was great to see. How much with the guys' Earl Yessermeyer Center that you guys have, your training center there on campus, how much has that helped with your development over your first 2 years?
I think it's just allowed me to hone in. Like the big thing at the UI is that we have TrackMan and the sim room, but I've been around TrackMan for probably maybe close to 10 years now. Like, so I've always been around it, but I think having access to it like every day has just helped out immensely. And not just like numbers and trying to like fix my swing, but mostly like distance control and figuring out launch angles and what happens when I hit the ball high, what happens when I hit the ball low. Like, when I hit it with a cut, I know it's not going to roll out as much. And then when I hit it with a draw, I know it's going to take an extra bounce. Like, just stuff like that. I also think being able to practice your short game in the winter, because being a northern school, we're at a disadvantage, because for a good 3 months out of the year, you're cooped up inside. And we, compared to these southern schools who are able to be in shorts all year round, I mean, I think that's just huge.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I need to work on my short game 12 months of the year, because I'm like butter knives out there. I'll just blade it all the way across the green always. I did shoot an 85 yesterday, so I was happy with that. So I was pleased with that. Here's a tough question for you, Cash. What if you were out there on your favorite course? I said, hey, Cash, you got to go out on your favorite course tomorrow and play, and you get to pick your foursome, your other three golfers with you, dead or alive. Who would it be?
Um, so So, I mean, the course I'm picking is a little country club in an Elkhart called Elkhona Country Club. I don't know if y'all ever heard of that, but
yep,
it's just hidden gem. I'm obviously picking my dad. I'm going, I mean, Tiger. I mean, you have to be an idiot not to pick him. And, God, that's the fourth one. Who am I picking? I think I'm going to go with Ben Hogan. Just an all-time great.
Very nice. Okay. John?
Cash, is your father introduce you to the game of golf?
Yeah, he played college golf at Franklin.
Okay.
And so I was introduced to the game like pretty young, like around that three range, but I didn't really take it serious because, I mean, obviously you grow up playing baseball, football, and basketball. I mean, especially basketball in Indiana. But mm-hmm. I mean, I came to a realization I'm just not that athlete. I don't jump hard enough, and I don't run fast enough.
Take us through a little process of like how do you without telling all your tales, man. How do you approach a tournament? You personally, how do you approach a tournament?
So a big thing for me is I'll just Google Earth, like the course, just to see like what type of layout it is, and mm-hmm. If it's a golf course that's tight, I'm gonna work on hitting fairways a little bit more. If it's a course where I'm gonna have a lot of wedges, I'm just gonna try and dial in my wedges. And, I mean, it's just like it's like catering to like a defense on football. Like, okay, their safeties are the best players, so we gotta have a good run game. Or I don't know two craps about football or anything like that, but that's just
right.
Like my guess. But you just like your opponent is the golf course, so you just have to prepare for them.
Okay.
Got you.
Cash, your coach just texted me and said he was shocked that you didn't go with Joe Rogan as your fourth.
If he played golf, I would ask him to. But I'm always listening to that podcast.
Well, now you can start listening to ours too. So we'll give you another one.
Oh, yes, sir.
Go ahead, John.
No, I asked Cash, you know what I'm saying, in the pre-screener, man, like what other sports he was into. He said he wasn't into too much of like NBA or whatever, or NFL. But he did mention hunting and fishing. And I want to tell Cash, like 100 years ago when I was a little kid, man, hunting and fishing used to come on. On ESPN, you know what I'm saying?
Bill Dance.
It was a sport. Right. But like, nah, man, let me ask you about this, man. What, do you still fish? Like locally or like, you know what I'm saying, in the ocean? Freshwater.
I'm stuck to, we're like lake locked here, so I'm just sticking to ponds. I've gone on like charter cruises and fish in the ocean, but, I mean, there's nothing like when a largemouth bass hits the line. I mean, that's like one of the best feelings of life.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm no pro by no means. I just enjoy it. Like, I wouldn't call myself a hunter. I wouldn't call myself a fisherman. But I just love doing it.
Do you think there's a parallel between the quietness that those sports have and the quietness that you experience, you know what I'm saying, that you do excel at in golf?
I would contribute of just being in your own head. I mean, I'll go fishing with buddies and everything, but I like going fishing by myself. And I just like, it's just me and the water. I throw my phone in the truck and like, I don't talk to anyone for hours and I love it. I mean, same thing with hunting. Like I've gone and been in a tree for a good 4 hours and put the phone away, and it's just I'm just sitting there just look trying to see if there's a deer coming, but it ended up being a squirrel getting pissed off. But
okay, well, I got a question, man. What is the all right, so how do you count the points on the deer? How does that all work out? I don't understand. I'm a city guy, so you gotta explain it. You gotta explain it. This is a city show, man. You gotta explain it to the people.
How do you count the points? Or
yeah.
So, like, if it's like a 10, like a 10 point, you just count all, like, all the, like, the little, like,
yeah,
spikes
little...
on the antlers.
Yeah.
But
come on, John, ain't that hard.
Point,
dude,
like,
I grew up in
like
the city. I don't know about no, go ahead.
But if you count, like, the score, like, you'll hear people say, oh, I got a 200-inch deer. That's all the inches combined on them. So, like, I grew up knowing that because my grandfather raises whitetail. And
okay.
He's been raising them for now probably over 15 years, and I've just grown up knowing that stuff. Like, I was introduced to it pretty young.
Awesome. Okay. Perfect. I got three more for you, Cash. By the way, your name, if it's not the most perfect athlete name, like, congratulations to your parents for naming you that. So, hell of a name there.
You'll never guess what I was named after.
Oh, let's see. How old are you? You're 20, 21 yet?
Yeah, about to be 21.
Okay.
Johnny
Cash. That would put you.
No, sir.
No, not Johnny Cash. Okay, strike one.
Okay. So we're looking 21 years ago. We're looking 2002-ish. Gosh, that's dating me now. I don't have a guess.
Give us a guess, Brad.
It's a bull rider.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, my parents were just turned on the TV and saw the PBR and just saw a bull rider named Cash, and they're like, oh, that's a cool name. I just went with that.
I love
I'm glad
it.
They did.
I love it.
I'm glad they did. I didn't want to be a Chuck Jr.
Yeah, that doesn't sound the same as Cash, so for sure. What clubs are in your bag? What kind of clubs are you playing right now?
I mean, I got a little bit of everything. I mean, I got everything from a ping driver, Callaway hybrid, Mizuno irons, and Vokey wedges, and a Scotty Cameron putter. I mean, I just kind of play with whatever feels best to me.
Yep.
I mean, I've had the same driver now for a year and a half now. I've had the same irons for almost a little over 3 years. Wedges I change about every 9 to 12 months just because I wear them out so quickly. I found a putter I actually like, so that's not going out of the bag anytime soon.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah, I was trying to go get new clubs myself, and I felt I'm still hitting the new clubs like I'm hitting my current ones, the same distances. So I don't feel like it's point for me to go buy any. And I actually was on the course a couple weeks ago with we had an older gentleman paired with us, and I asked him if he wanted me to use my rangefinder for him to give him a distance. And he said, son, at my age, we hit the no matter what the club is, they all go the same distance. So so that's one thing I'm going to live by there with him. But, yeah, I was going to buy a new driver, a new stealth driver, and I'm hitting my old TaylorMade driver still. And I have a Nike Vaporwave. I'm hitting them the same distance. So may not even do that. So what's your plan? Do you have any, what's your current plans, or do you see your future plans after school?
I think it's every Division I college golfer's dream to go pro, try to make it on the tour or whatever tour it's going to be in the next 5 years.
Right.
That's been my dream since I was little and started taking this game serious, was how to get on the PGA Tour. I mean, granted, I think I'm a lot closer than I was a year ago from it. So
yep.
I'm just going to keep working my butt off and just seeing where this little white ball takes me.
Perfect. Last one. This is the easy one. Who do we credit, mom or dad, with the flowing locks of hair?
Well, my dad's bald, so I'm going to have to go with my mom.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, she was a blonde. My dad was brown hair, so I'm the product of a milkman or something. I don't know.
No. Put them together, you get the red. We're good. It's all good. Perfect.
We're gonna edit that out and post.
Yeah, right. I know. Coach is listening. Coach is listening. He's probably shaking his head right now.
Oh, he always shakes his head every day at me.
Well, Cash, we've been following you all season long, and with you and Coach and all, and you know, we want to thank you for coming on tonight, joining us. We're going to continue to follow you, and we would definitely want to get you on again, maybe later on in the fall, once your guys' fall seasons take a break from that or so. We definitely want to get you on, but it's been a pleasure having you tonight.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was fun.
So sounds good. We'll see. Hey, and we're actually going to come up there to I don't know if you're going to be there this summer, but we're going to be coming up there to see Coach here soon. And, you know, we're going to try to get John. John's not a golfer, but we're going to try to get him in there to get him get some hits.
I'm living in Muncie this summer, so I'll be here.
Beautiful. Sounds good. We'll connect then.
All right. My mom's probably texting me right now, probably giving me crap for what I just said. But
hi, Mom. So, Cash, thank you, my man. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You too. All right, John. Cash Beller, Ball State golfer, national invitational champion golfer. I'll put it like that. But great conversations, man. I love how they came up with the name. Like, you know, you're not going to get those questions at other sports shows or radio shows asking. We're going to hit the ones that people want to know. And it was great to hear kind of his personality as well and kind of what he likes to do on the side besides golf. Because, you know, I wouldn't think as a golfer myself, like, I golf to get away from my, you know, to get away from my job. I had to be careful because, you know, get away from the wife. No, to get away from my job to play golf. But, like, when you're a golfer and you want to take a break from the competitive level, you know, and all that, like, do you just go out and play with your buddies? Like, your buddy's got to be tired of playing with you if you're good all the time. I have one buddy, like, I hate playing with him. He's so good.
Right,
you know?
Killing it.
Exactly. So, but, no, thank you to Ball State. Thank you to Ball State Golf, Coach Mike Fleck, for having Cash join us there. And definitely, we're looking forward. And breaking news, I need to still text Coach. I am free the day of the golf alumni outing. So, John, if you can make it work, we'll get you up there as well for that day. And I've already got a couple guys I've reached out to for this foursome. So we'll see if we can make that work for us. We're going to hit quick ad read, John. Quick, we got to pay some of the bills, so we'll hit ads. We come back. We'll talk NBA Finals. Well, actually, we got a quick hitter I want to hit when we come back. Some other news that made some airwaves locally earlier this week. So we'll hit that more when we come back, so stay tuned.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you.
Crossroads Sports would like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic or commercial, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Call 877-744-6212 to set up your delivery. Thanks, Wiseman.
All right, John, we are back. Thank you to our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, who's back now from this extravagant vacation that he went on. Now he's back. So shout out to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, Maverick Custom Motorsports, and as well as Wiseman Logistics. John, there was some big news that hit. The Indianapolis Colts, that there was a player that was getting investigated for gambling, violations of the league's gambling policy, allegedly hundreds of games, including the Colts' own games. Rumor came out that it was Isaiah Rogers, the cornerback, and then he came out and put a little statement out himself admitting to it. The NFL is still investigating the Colts that were blindsided by it on Monday morning. At 10 o'clock or so when this came out, John, you got to believe he's going to at least have a year suspension, if not more, especially if you're betting on your own team. And you got to believe the Colts are then going to have to release him as well. As he was going, $25 and $50 bets he was making through his family members. John, he had a big contract he was due up this year. He was due for a good contract.
Yeah,
but so your thoughts on this whole thing?
Brandon, I don't understand, because it's just another version of greed. Like, my man got $2 million already. It's coming. He's not – people are just trying to – whoever you make – they make a bet through you, like that's like leeching. Like, hey man, like this side of information, like all those gonna kind of come into play. All like, I'm saying it because that's what's gonna be. That's already being said. He should have got a lawyer instead of getting on social media. He should have got a lawyer.
Right? Yeah,
and hope you don't.
He needed a lawyer statement there. He definitely did.
You know what I'm saying? I get it. Fall on your sword. You need to get a lawyer, because whoever got you into trouble, you making bets through them, or even it's you. Like, that's just dumb. We don't live in that world no more, man. And plus, like, if you need an extra check or whatever, man, we'll find something for you, dude. We'll get you some NIL money. No pun intended, but you know what I'm saying? We'll get you something to do around here, around the city, man. They got everything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just a head scratcher, man. Like, what?
Black eye for the court.
It's not. It ain't looking good, man. You know what I'm saying? In a season of, everybody knows here locally that it's going to be a season of transition, especially when you got Gardner Minshew. Oh my God, Brandon, why didn't they go for Garoppolo? Both of them are transitional.
He's hurt, man. Garoppolo might not even play. He might be waived.
Well, he's gonna play, man. He's just, you know how Garoppolo. Anyway, man. But this is a year of transition with the Colts, and like, everybody's not gonna be up here to ready, set, go. Like, he's an important part of the Colts defense. I'm not saying we all kind of held our breath and thought it was Shaq Leonard, and you know it wasn't. But you know, saying he's an important part of it. And now he's put his whole career in jeopardy. And I don't know. Like, there's two other professional football leagues. But the USFL, like, the yearly pay for eight games is like $55,000. You didn't blew $2 million ready set for you. All
right.
You got to do is make it through the 17. Man, I don't understand the logic, man. But, hey, I'm not the one facing the charges.
It's crazy. You know, especially after you see Calvin Ridley and, what, 5 Lions players that did it as well.
Right.
And you've seen what's happening with these guys.
I hope.
They have ways to investigate this.
You can't say it's racial either, man. Pete Rose is banned from baseball. This dude's one of the greatest baseball players I've ever seen in my life. Pete Rose, they said, we don't care.
Let me ask you this.
Back to... Yeah, ask me.
Hmm? Let me ask you this, the other side of it, because I've seen other people ask it. Well, how – and it's pretty simple. The dude's betting on his own games, too, and that's
right.
A slippery slope. But,
right.
Well, the NFL's sitting there,
no,
and they're – they're laying in bed with Caesar's Sportsbook and DraftKings Sportsbook and FanDuel Sportsbook. They're the ones that are putting it out there for
because
you to see in every commercial and in-game sponsorship.
The fans wanted more as well. The fans wanted more access to the players. The fans wanted more football. That all come with money. If you ask for something, somebody's going to find a way to tax it. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
The NFL come with a ticket. And so, like, when it was a revenue stream. Now, do I think, okay, let's parallel these conversations, Brandon. Let's be real. Do I think a Saudi Arabian entity could ever buy the NFL? I'm going to tell you hell double to the no. Never. Could they buy a team? Absolutely. Or buy into a team? Absolutely. But the system, I ain't going to say it's a good old boy system, but I said it, right? The system, they will not allow anything, an entity like that, happen to, like, what happened to the PGA. By a team, maybe. But by the NBA, never. I'm just going to tell you that right there. The NBA, never. Period. So, listen, Brandon, I don't know, man. It's damn near too hot and heavy to be talking about NFL. This is hot and heavy, ain't it? Already. We ain't got through training camp.
No, well, I'm already done. I'm already into the college football. I'm knee deep in college football already. So knee deep, got a lot of communication on Facebook.
Brandon posted something on Facebook about college football. This Heisman candidates, you know what I'm saying? People went wild on it, man. So the top Heisman. It makes sense for the homie in USC to repeat. Why couldn't they repeat? You know what I mean? But there is some truth into like what these other teams are returning. You know what I'm saying? As far as that list is concerned.
Let me ask you this, college football, real quick.
Yeah.
So the SEC. Well, first off, the Big 12 is talking expansion of bringing for basketball Gonzaga, and for basketball and football and all the other sports, Colorado. You've talked about Colorado moving out of the Pac-12, getting back to the Big 12, or
right.
you even referenced them as the Big 8, the Grade 8, whatnot.
Right, right.
But the
yeah,
SEC football, if this ain't a scumbag move, I don't know what is. The SEC football, so all these other leagues have nine games in their seasons, especially when you're going to get the more teams in these super conferences. Well, the SEC is going to wants to move to an 8-game conference schedule. Smallest in the Power Five, 8 games. No other conference has 8 games. It's all 9 or more.
They're arrogantly saying, Brandon, that they're the best conference.
It means more.
Okay,
you know what that all that is? That just, to me, that weakens it because old Decott's team, Alabama, Crimson Tide, they're going to go out there and they're going to, that new game that should have been a conference game, you know what they're going to do, John? Hey, dude, let's go out there and play Florida A&M Rattlers. That's going to get us hyped up. You know what that is? That's a, hey, let's save our asses one game so we don't lose and then get knocked out of a potential playoff game or something. If we end up slipping up in a conference game or two, we have basically a bye week. Or Bethune-Cookman or South Carolina State, you're playing these type of schools. Man, come on, SEC. Man up. Play that other game like the rest of these conferences do.
Could the let's try the NFL model backfire on college football, Brandon?
No.
The super conference, I don't know, Brandon, I don't know how it's going to be sold, man. Gonzaga in the Big 12.
I like it. I like them probably in back Pac-12 better, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they can't compete.
They may be the best team in the Pac-12. But the Pac-12 is talking about going into the Big 12. So, I mean, they're going to eat that up.
Yeah, because they lost the Pac-12. The Pac-12 lost UCLA basketball. That was a hit.
They lost USC. They're going to lose Oregon probably. And then what's left in the Pac-12? All that's going to go straight to the Big 12, Big 10. I like the fact that the Big 12 is trying to put themselves up there. You know, they're saying, hey, we're gonna try to get some of these teams. Yeah, I put out there for the Heismans, and I put 9 candidates out there based
correct.
Off of reports that I've read. Caleb Williams, Jordan Travis from Florida State, Sam Hartman in Notre Dame, Drake May, UNC, Michael Penix in Washington, Jaden Daniels, LSU, J.J. McCarthy,
man,
Michigan, Quinn Ewers, and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Up.
And I know there's one guy that's sitting here watching this right now commenting on Facebook. Well, don't you know Alabama guy in there for the Heisman? How are they not there? That's right.
Uh-oh.
But for me, looking at these 10 guys, you can't tell me these 9 guys here, you can't see them as a top Heisman candidate.
Nah,
maybe some will fizzle out. Maybe they will.
Season-wise. Right, they didn't already say Marvin Harrison Jr. You know what I'm saying, top 3. NFL draft pick for next year. So Heisman, absolutely, man. He will have an amazing season, man. I'm kind of, but I think I think right now, and I know, dude, we I just watched a little spring ball yesterday, LSU.
Ooh,
I think right now,
got you
man,
going.
I think USC is a player in the championship this year. Is a player. They're going to determine.
Okay.
I'm not saying they win it. I'm saying they're going to be at the table.
Right. Did you see my picks for did you see some of those notable coaching changes that happened this offseason? I don't think that gets talked about enough, those coaching changes.
What you
talking
that about? You talking about at what university?
All of them. I'm going to go through that list real quick. If you didn't see them on the Twitter. and I called this one from the beginning, Nebraska and Matt Rhule. You can play back the podcast. I called that. As soon as he left Carolina, I said he would be a perfect fit in Nebraska. So pull that up. Matt Rhule, Nebraska. Luke Fickell, Wisconsin. Deion Sanders, Colorado. Hugh Freeze, yeah, going back to the SEC at Auburn. Tom Herman, FAU. Jeff Brohm, Louisville. Ryan Walters, Purdue. Zach Arnett taking over at Mississippi State for, rest in peace, Coach Leach. Cincinnati, Scott Satterfield from Louisville. And UAB, Trent Dilfer. What? But that's some notable head coaching changes going into this next season.
Yeah, and some guys got to prove it. I know you're not a believer just this year for Deion. I still got him, you know, saying, competing for the Big – I mean, I got him competing for the Big 12 championship.
John, I have the Lindy's book, College Football Preview. I sent that picture of, and I'm sitting there going through it, going team by team, making my notes, because we're going to have a hell of a college football season this year.
It's going to go crazy, like – yeah, it's going to go crazy. Yeah.
John, I want you to tell me where you believe they have the Colorado Buffaloes ranked first in the conference and overall.
Nope. They probably got them 40th.
What about the conference?
They should have them, give them some respect on Deion's name. At least have them 5th.
12th out of 12.
Oh, wow. They got
overall ranking, 81st.
Uh-oh.
Guess who's 84th?
Bloomington.
Ball State.
Oh, wow.
Dude, you can't just bring players in. He can't just bring players in and just expect great success. And I'm sorry, this is going to ruffle some feathers probably. I'm sorry.
It ruffled the feathers.
The guys that you brought from your Jackson State, the I'm not even sure what the D2. I don't want to call it D2, but – you know
it's
what
division,
I mean.
It's Division One. Don't get in trouble.
Okay, Division One, whatever you want to call it. They played down there for a reason and not at a D1 school. You can't expect those players to come up and play against these D1s at a Power 5. I'm sorry, you can make fun of the Pac-12 as much as you want. There's still high-level D1 players out there. And you can expect you just bringing these guys from this your Jackson State school and maybe a couple of recruits to say, yep, this is our product. We're throwing it out there. We're getting 9 wins this year. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen this year. It may happen next year. But it's going to take some time for this team to gel. And looking at their schedule, John, they take on TCU at TCU the first game of the year. And then they're home against Nebraska and Colorado State. So they may get an eye-opener when they go to TCU. You know what? While we're talking here, I'm going to see what the sports book currently has. I bet this is at least a 15-point spread. At least.
Hey, right now, TCU, it didn't bring back everybody now. Don't get crazy.
No, they didn't. But you got to put a little respect on their name. I mean, these guys went to – did you see the stomping they put on?
They beat Michigan.
They did.
They beat Michigan.
And then they got
I'm the one to call that. Let's roll back tape. I'm the one to call them beat Michigan. Nobody else did. But, yeah, that's the tape they need to get rolled back.
So right now, let me give you these odds. Let's see. Where are we at? Because they have week one odds up, and I like it. Purdue, 6.5 points. All right, here we go. I said what, 15 is probably the spread for TCU Colorado first game? TCU minus 21, 3 touchdowns.
Ooh.
That's Vegas line. 3 touchdowns right now. Starts in 86 days. I think Deion and them are going to have a rougher year than most people think.
It might be.
And I know it's a sexy look for what he's doing out there, his cowboy hat, the whole showmanship, you know. But I think it's going to be a little tougher, man. They left so many people. They lost so many people after the spring game even. Come on. So, all right, back to the NBA. I love my college football. The Celtics, John, say that they see Jaylen Brown as a, quote, big part of their future. They're going to do everything they can to keep him. Smart move or not?
It's a smart move. They have to figure out That's the best. That's no. Ah, no. You just can't keep on firing coaches, man.
The one you need is up in the press box.
Brad Stevens is not coming down to be the coach of the team, and this is who the front office wants to be the coach, man. Issues they had, or whatever issues he had, communication issues he had with Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, like they got to get that. And it seems like they have it, but they got to get it tight because this team is too good. And these two guys, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they won't play with better teammates other than one. They're both in their prime. They are both relatively like maybe 1 or 2 years apart from one another in age.
Right.
They just have to make sure, like, hey, man, quit turning over the ball. It's not for you. You know what I'm saying? And that's both of them. And it's not for either one of you to play hero ball. If we need a late in the second, you know what I'm saying? It's Jason Tatum. Okay, that's, you know what I mean? Jason Tatum makes $55 million a year. Jaylen Brown's going to make 49. Who, you know what I'm saying? Don't worry about it. But they are very superly talented overall. Those two make the team work. I feel like sometimes they don't like one another. I do. Sometimes it feels like they don't like one another on the court. But, like, I remember hearing a quote from, you know, I even heard Danny Ainge be like, I can't recant it. Like, Larry Bird said, man, we all, just because, you know what I'm saying, we all got drafted here or whatever, assigned here, don't mean we all like one another. You know what I'm saying? So there was necessarily no animosity on the, you know what I'm saying, like openly, but like they just saying like, man, you know, some guys are partiers, some other guys are, you know what I'm saying, are homebodies. You know what I'm saying? When we get out there, we the Boston Celtics. The same thing should be said about these Boston Celtics. Hey, man, maybe Jason Tatum is a rap kind of guy and maybe Jaylen Brown's an R&B kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? But on the court, however the team goes because of those two. That's how I see the team. Now, Marcus Smart, he might have to find another home. You know what I'm saying? Malcolm Brogdon, he's definitely got – if I was running the team, he definitely had to find another home. You know what I'm saying? But they can't also be a team that's going to help – that's thinking that, oh, man, we just got old Al back there, and we're going to need him to turn back time. You know what I'm saying? Every night. You know what I'm saying? That's great. That's a great story. But, like, in order to get to the next step, these two had to play better. Not – the ancillary parts. But I think some of the ancillary parts are going to have to change in order for the team to, you know what I'm saying, complement these two what they have. So I like the move. And like I said, the coach, hey, bro, man, go. Y'all need to go in a deep think tank with Jason and Jaylen and figure it out. I think the guy got talent. Yeah, I mean, I think the guy is a good coach. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been on the assistance spot with them. I think he's got probably thrust a little bit a year, maybe a year and a half too early. But now you're here, man. What you going to do? Piss or get off the pot?
Okay. And with the NBA.
Let's go, man. I love that. That's classic.
Oh, it's classic. Tonight, game 3 of the NBA Finals. Ooh, there we go. Just brings back so much nostalgia memory. Tonight, game 3, Nuggets, Heat, series tied 1-1. John, Nuggets, great game 1, Heat come back in game 2, pull away in that one. No Tyler Hero, a little bit of swelling. He's going to be reevaluated tomorrow, but game 3 tonight, what do you see playing out possibly tonight? Who do you like winning game 3 tonight? Man, it's back and forth. Right now, Denver is a 3.5-point favorite. It's moved up from 2.5, but it would not shock me to see Miami somehow sneak another one in.
I think Denver goes back to Denver, still down, but they're not winning this game tonight. Didn't you look at your phone yesterday? I know I did. About 5:30, and thought, "Hey man, ain't there a game coming on tonight?" You know, then the Tigers. So like, I feel like there was an extra day. that they got a rest, man. And that's
because they had to move locations. That's why.
Right. But I'm saying, but it's like an extra day. So like, they're gonna be. You know, role players play better at home. They got a great performance out of Duncan Robinson again. And, like, you know what I'm saying, even sometimes the smarter basketball player outplays the more athletic basketball player. But Porter Jr., you know, pissed nothing down his leg again. You know what I'm saying, KCP. pissing down his leg again. You know what I mean? And Jokic, they left Jokic with a 40 burger. And, you know what I'm saying, Jamal Murray, you know what I'm saying, another jilted bride at the altar. You know what I mean? So, but like, no, man, Miami got some great role player step-up moments, man. You know what I'm saying? Big steals, rebounds, you know what I'm saying, open shots. And then Jimmy Butler didn't even have a great Jimmy Butler crazy. It was consistent, though. That's the thing you can say about Jimmy Butler. So I think tonight we haven't seen 40 burger Jimmy Butler. Maybe since when we turned the ankle. In what series was that? That was
right.
The last series.
First one against the Bucks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was the Knicks.
Yeah, that was against the Knicks. We haven't seen 40 burger Jimmy Butler. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we see that tonight. Maybe we see an explosion tonight, man. I listened to him today in a NBA presser, man. He said it would mean everything for them to win a championship. I think about the accomplishment. They didn't whine. They didn't complain. They all begged for calls. I see what you. I mean, I'm not going them to end that right. They didn't whine. They didn't beg. They complained. They didn't say the Miami Heat. They didn't say, hey man, who can we trade to get in here to get this team? Like, nah, man. There's some little tinkering, but like for the most part, 99% of the people that started with this Miami Heat team at the beginning of the season is what they are now, and I can say that is because guess what, Tyler Hero is still not playing, and not as Victor Oladipo, and they played in the regular season. You know what I'm saying? It's just they got some great contributions. They even got a great contribution. I know people heckle and jekyll at it about Cody Zeller. Hey, man, somebody got to do the screener. Somebody got to be the screener. Somebody got to do the dirty work. Somebody got to get the rebounds. Somebody got to get the dunks. The 4-point, you know what I'm saying? Whatever little 4 points, like, somebody has to do it, man. So you can laugh at it. But, like, yeah, you got Kevin Love out there, you know what I'm saying, playing his best. He gives a good, you know what I'm saying, 12 minutes. You know what I mean? But, man, the Miami Heat, like, they are in a unique position where there is not, like, that super, super, uber-duper star. There's some people that have some all-star moments so far, but like, man, this is if they put it all together and win it. And I know I'm talking a little down the road, but like for us tonight, I think they get the job done because they're at home. I don't think there's no level of comfortability necessarily with them. I don't think it's like different Nuggets is going to roll over, but I don't think there's level of comfortability with them. And I think Miami pulls it out tonight.
I had some people chirping on Twitter. Can you help me put this to bed? When it's all said and done, Jimmy's got to win at least two titles. When it's all said and done, people, relax. Jimmy Butler will not be the greatest Miami Heat player of all time. I'm sorry, he won't.
Nah, he won't be the greatest Miami Heat. No,
he can't.
If he puts the icing on this one, like he might leapfrog.
He's moving.
Like
he'd move up the ladder. He'd move up the ladder for sure.
He leapfrogs definitely Glenn Rice. You know what I'm saying? Players like that.
Ronnie Cycli,
damn, he might have leapfrogged, you know what I'm saying, Brian Shaw.
Harold Miner.
You know what I'm saying, all them out there. Steve Smith, you know what I'm saying, Sherman Douglas, you know what I'm saying. He said Harold Miner.
Sean Lewis. Harold Miner, he won a dunk contest at least.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible that you said that. No, man, all jokes aside, he wins a championship, man. He's probably right under, you know what I'm saying, he's in the top five of Miami Heat. But not the greatest.
Still behind LeBron. Still behind LeBron.
Is that the greatest Miami Heat player? Or is it Dwayne Wade?
Dwayne Wade. You can't do him dirty.
Is Lonzo Mourning?
No. Lonzo is Lonzo's second.
Lonzo got the point.
Lonzo never won a title. Well, I guess he won one title.
Yeah, he did. He was on the championship team with them.
So, I'm going to go Wade. Wade. Lonzo, LeBron.
Shaq Diesel's on the team, man.
Shaq
Diesel's on the team.
Because he won one title, and then Jimmy.
Michael
Jimmy
Bobby
can pass Shaq if he gets a title. Shaq didn't have much time there. Who?
No, he didn't. He did.
You want to start throwing Mario Chalmers out there? I mean.
Mike Miller. I mean, Mike Miller's out here. He hit the
Ray shot. Allen?
He hit the
Where you put Chris Bosh? Honest story, where you put Bosh?
No, Chris Bosh.
He's the forgotten one, man. He's the forgotten one always. It's always Wade and LeBron.
Yeah.
They don't want
him. I don't know. Chris Bosh. I got Chris Bosh over Johnny Cycles. That's for darn sure.
Oh, shoot. Ronnie Cycli. What a name. John, Zach Edey returned into Purdue. He announced it. God, he waited to the last moment, basically. Puts Purdue back up into the top five. Painter's going to be adjusting his offense now, you got to believe, to kind of not only adjust Edey's game, but also to get those guards a little bit better shooting and such. I mean, they played well for all season. They just kind of had that little falter there towards the end with the guard play. But huge move for Edey to come back.
Yeah, I like the move for it, man. A lot of people was kind of poo-pooing his in the NBA turn. I had him in the, you know, saying mid. I just thought I had him in the mid second round, and that's not guaranteed money. What Purdue has offered him is guaranteed money. I mean, and this is the man. And it's not even greed motivated. It's like, man, you're still playing basketball at a high level. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm all for it. Glad for that.
I had people chirping me saying, oh, look at Edey. He's got to turn back. He's not as good as he thought he was going to the pro. He's not as good as he was. When was that?
Has everything to do with the fact that there's guaranteed money out here in collegiate basketball.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
That's what it's about.
Angel last three Reese, things.
I will go tirade, man. We're going to a different tirade every night, man.
All right, last three things.
Go for it, bro.
Shannon Sharp leaving FS1 with Skip.
Oh, man, Brandon. Man, I was in the Hall of Fame, man. Come on, him and Skip.
Skip is running away.
Another, you know what I'm saying? Everybody remembers the dynamic Skip had with Stephen A. Back in the ESPN days when they first started that craziness of like back and forth, right? And once they, you know what I'm saying, it's part of whatever. I didn't think Skip Bayless could ever find anybody that's a buddy. You know what I'm saying? That works. Like, you know what I'm saying? Skip is a prick, man, but he at one point he used to be on point prick, and like now I think he kind of just like phones it in. I get there's a lot of Hollywoodness kind of goes with Shannon Sharp, man. It's a lot that kind of goes with him, man. It's like attention seeking, like egomaniac, all those things, man. But like they put that all together, and I thought they had a successful little show. I didn't always tune into it because again it's a lot of thick on entertainment and not so much on the meat and potatoes of sports,
not a lot
like Crossroads Sports, like Crossroads Sports is, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? Cause like but I thought it worked for them. Hey man, when I seen that, it wasn't like, oh man, break, you know, stop the news. But I was like, oh man, Shannon'll be fine. He'll bounce back, probably back to ESPN.
He'll be on ESPN,
arguing with somebody. Oh, they're gonna cut somebody.
Stephen A. invited him.
Yeah, right. And Stephen A. got the juice. Man,
Brandon, so who do you think would be next with Skip?
You? If he wanted to go toe to toe.
Hey, they gotta give me that live money. They'd have to give me that live money for me to leave here.
You wouldn't. Oh, stop it. You would go toe. You would go chop it up with Skip Bayless. You know what I'm saying?
I would love. Our arguments every day would be about LeBron.
They might as well put him in. Well, put that dude in. What's the other dude that left ESPN 100 years ago?
Whitlock?
No, Whitlock don't even work. Whitlock's on the internet.
We're better than Whitlock.
Absolutely, my guy. They played for. No, he didn't play for nobody. He always talked LeBron James, ladies and gentlemen. Fuck, I can't think of. I don't listen to his show. Colin.
Put McAfee with him. I think that would be hilarious.
Put McAfee on. But yeah, McAfee's on ESPN now.
Yeah, I know that's true. All right, last two things, John. Have you seen the movie Air yet? I've been meaning to ask you this.
I have not.
I've watched it. Great movie. Great movie.
Okay.
A lot of memorable quotes in it, but. Yeah, it's good. You get a chance to check it out. Air, the Michael Jordan with the Nike shoes. So I thought it was well done, all involved in that. So if you get a chance to check it out. And then last one, John, the new WWE Undisputed title that's just gold. They changed the color.
Uh-huh.
And now
uh-huh.
Here's my question. What happens to the WWE title itself now? Because the lineage with that, all those years, is it just now erased or what?
I don't know, man. I'm so engrossed with these storylines now, man. I can't.
Usos!
And then the Usos, it's Sequoia. This is amazing, man. I'm back
to
the WWE wrestler.
Jonathan Uso.
Not yet, man. I'm not Team Uso yet, man. Don't get crazy, but
are you still,
I'm back into the WWE.
Bron Breakker just challenged Seth Rollins for a title match.
Did he really?
Yeah, it's on the WWE website right now. Looking right
at it. That's a lot. Hey, Bron Breakker, I get that Scott Steiner is your daddy and all, but I don't know, bro. You stepping up to a whole lot right there, buddy.
So they're trying to get rid of the name of the official title is the Undisputed WWE Universal Champion. And you click on it, it still says WWE Championship, Universal Championship. Okay, so at one point, when the hell are you going to finally get rid of the Universal part? Or are you just going to say this is two titles into one? Because it's Undisputed means that no other title can...
No other title is higher than this. Right.
So then what about the World Heavyweight Championship?
That's the part, like at some point, man, he's going to...
Right?
But they're not going to have him click clash with Roman just yet. That's not the plan.
I mean, are you a big Carmelo Hayes fan?
There you go. There's your answer. Wow, what do you think?
Got it? I like him.
Are you talking about to get the title on right now? Or
No. Yeah. Carmelo Hayes, the NXT champ.
I'm talking about
like
the big
him.
Title.
Oh,
so you think I'm talking about moving him up.
No, too young right now.
Okay.
So here's my thought. The next World Heavyweight Champion, I think, has got to be Gunther.
Not Roman Reigns?
Or Theory. No. Not
Roman Reigns?
Gunther or Theory. Sorry, no. Roman's on the other show. Right?
But
he's
on the other show. He's on every show.
Nice. He's strictly SmackDown now, man.
But he's strictly SmackDown. Okay. All right. Okay.
So, and I don't know where you're going to go with the Cody Rhodes situation. I don't know where you go with that, but.
But hold on, Cody beat Seth.
Yeah, but he also lost to Lesnar.
Well, you already know they're going to make your job out of there.
I did like Dave. Did you like the? And I know some people were like, "Oh my God, you're talking wrestling," but it's part of our show. Deal with it.
I got to be responsible for my wrestling stuff, man. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't want to listen to wrestling, thank you for listening to the rest of the show tonight. We'll be love to have you back next week.
I appreciate it.
I did like the Damian Priest and Seth match Monday night for the title.
That was pretty good. I came front on that.
And it looks like Finn's going to be the next one. I think they're just going to have Seth do an open challenge every freaking week, it seems like. Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank's the next pay-per-view coming up. Who do you, in your personal opinion, believe should win the Money in the Bank?
I don't know. After Blue, they wouldn't put that in Finn. They wouldn't give him that as a consolation prize. They kind of been, you know what I'm saying, messing him over.
I've got two people.
Go ahead.
One that's been under the radar as of late, L.A. Knight, because he has a hell of a pop, and he'd be a great deal.
Man. Good.
Or Logan Paul, because he's feuded with both of those guys already, Roman and Seth.
Man. I'm going to go with the latter, man. I'm going to go with L.A. Knight, man. I tracked L.A. Knight when he was on the Indies, man.
I mean, it's too obvious that Cody would be in the match and then Lesnar or somebody would screw him out of it. So.
Right.
But I think Cody gets his shot probably at SummerSlam. And, you know, you just need to acknowledge the Tribal Chief because I don't know when the hell he's going to get beat.
Yeah. Cody, because it ain't going to be by Cody.
No, not for sure not. So. All right, John. I don't have anything else, but man, if you want to wrap us, this was a we had a power pack. We haven't had a power pack show in a long time, and tonight it was it.
Yeah, man, it's always good to have those live interviews, man. And I want to thank UT Ball State University Athletics and Ball State Golf as well. And they, you know what I'm saying, we are alumni. We go crazy for the alumni, man. So, and thanks, Cash Bella, for coming on to the show, man. I think he's our first 20-year. So that's an off-story comment, but off-the-show comment. But I think he's the youngest person that we ever featured on the show, man. It was kind of cool connecting with him in that regard, man. I'm glad things at Boston University are kind of universally how they were when you were there and then when I was there, man. So, again, thanks to Boston University for allowing. And for Cash coming on, man. You know what I'm saying? The stars aligned in that regard, man. Other than that, man, I want to say thank you to Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick Custom Motorsports, and Wiseman Logistics. How could we do the show without them, man? And I want to say thank you to everybody that chimes in on Facebook Live and shares and retweets all the content, man, that me and Brandon put out. Me and Brandon put out great quality content that we, you know what I'm saying, that we know people like to enjoy and chop up and debate about, you know what I'm saying? Next week, Brandon, we'll get to, you know what I'm saying, get the people called back in. I know we probably a little bit over time, but maybe we have some other people like, hold it, I do apologize. We'll get to you next time. But we just had a guest tonight. But, like, yeah, we'll get back to all that next week, man. Outside of that, I think we had a great show tonight. And like I said, we try to do bigger and better next week. Everybody, I just want to say thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.